following a couple of years ago. I was thinking about the fact was part of our training for Kabbalah Satorah. Why did we suffer in Egypt? What was the tachlis of Galus Mitzrayim? The purpose of Galus Mitzrayim was to become an Eved, which we would then channel into being an Eved Hashem. Anochi Hashem Lokecha. I'm Hashem, I took you out of Mitzrayim. Mi beis avadim, right? And now I want you to serve me. So it was a training ground, it was a training course in hard work. The Zohar even says that the descriptive words that describe that the experience of the Jews in Mitzrayim, that they were working in Mitzrayim, b'chomer and levenim, right? Zohar says chomer is kal v'chomer and levenim is libun halacha. What does that mean? They were working with chomer and levenim. They were working with bricks and mortar. But it means that everything that they were working on was training them and preparing them to be able to serve Hashem better. One of the techniques that we find in Chazal, a very evil technique of Paro HaRasha, was that Paro didn't let Jews finish any job. He always made them, he robbed them of the satisfaction of finishing a job. People like to finish a job. When you have a project, when you have a goal, and you know what you want to achieve, and you're able to see it through from beginning to end, it's a very, very good feeling. It's a very good feeling. But Paro, as a psychological technique against Klal Yisrael, if you were assigned to a particular task to build something, as you were, you know, just about to finish that job, so Paro would switch you to a different job. So you never had the satisfaction of finishing the job. And that was a tremendous, tremendous rishus of Paro. But I was thinking a couple of years ago, everything we went through in Mitzrayim is part of training for Torah. And in a funny kind of way, that was also part of the training for Torah. Because in Torah, you can never finish the job. And obviously, while Paro's intentions were malicious, were evil, right? Hashem obviously created that reality in a way that is somehow positive. So that's what I want to think about together this morning. As we come closer and closer to the end of our year of very strange learning together, I want to think about what does it mean to be successful in Torah, okay? And if I can say so, I think this is one of the more important topics we've discussed the whole year. So please try to listen in a deep way and with an open heart. Okay, let's go back to a Mishnah from Shabbos for those who learn Pirkei Avos on Shabbos this time of the year. The very end of the second parak of Avos, Rabbi Tarfon teaches us the following. It's a famous statement. You'll recognize it. Lo alecha hamlacha ligmor. It's not incumbent upon you to finish the job. And at the same time, you're not freed from doing the job. Chaver, what's the pashup shot in this Mishnah? What does that mean? You can't finish the job, but you should still do what you can. What is the Mishnah responding to? The Mishnah is responding to a psychological reality that people don't like to do things when they know that they can't finish the job. It's a little bit demoralizing. That's what Paro was trying to do to Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim. Paro would assign us to tasks that we couldn't finish, or he didn't allow us to finish, as a way of robbing us of the satisfaction of being able to complete a job. But the Mishnah here is telling us that, lo alecham lachal ligmor. Who told you that the obligation is to finish the job? Lo alecham, it's not upon you. It's not incumbent upon you to finish the job. Your job is simply to try, and not to excuse yourself from taking on the job, dafka because I'll never finish it. I'm never going to finish it, so why bother? Let me pick a project that I can finish. Let me set a goal that's attainable. And therefore, the great Tana, Rabbi Tarfon, is pushing us to not run away from Torah simply because it's overwhelming, but to do what we can. Someone once came to the Chavetz Chaim. Come back to Rav Dessler in a moment. A Jew once came to the Chavetz Chaim. And he said to the Chavetz Chaim, and we know this, it's printed in a Hebrew biography called Meir Enei Yisrael in the fourth volume, in source number 6. Chavetz Chaim quoted this Rashi to him. Someone came to the Chavetz Chaim and said, Rebbe, I've been learning for so long, and I learn very seriously, and I'm not a gadol b'Torah. I'm not a chashuv a person in Torah. I'm not a big Talmud Chacham. And the Chavetz Chaim looked at him and he said, so matter-of-factly, who told you that one of the goals of Judaism is to be a gadol b'Torah? Where did you get that idea from? Where does it say that? I think actually the lashon that's brought in the Sefer Meir Enei Yisrael is that he said, Rebbe, I've been learning for a long time, and I want to be a gon, and I'm not a gon. A gon. He says, who told you you're supposed to be a gon? Who told you you're supposed to be a gadol b'Torah? You know what the Torah does say? Im b'chukos ha'telechu. Ves mitzvos ha'tishmeru v'asisam osam. And Rashi explains, Im b'chukos ha'telechu, to walk in the ways of Hashem, does not only refer to kiyam ha'mitzvos, because that's the rest of the pasuk, es mitzvos ha'tishmeru v'asisam osam. What is im b'chukos ha'telechu? Rashi says, based on the Medrash Halacha, the Sifra, Hama'ani makayim b'chukos ha'telechu, shetiyu amelim b'torah. Do what you can. Keep working at it. So if you're working at it, who cares where you think you're up to in terms of your success? You're doing your job. You're doing exactly what's expected of you. Don't complain over the fact that you're not a gadol b'Torah. So part of what this Mishnah is teaching us is our job is to wake up every day and to ask myself, how can I serve Hashem? What can I do? Not to be put off by the fact that it's endless, not to be intimidated by the fact that I'll never finish the job, but to take on the achrayis of working for Hashem with great pride and great confidence. So, Chaver, let's learn a letter from Rav Dessler from the year 1943. Rav Dessler sent the following letter in the year 1943. And Rav Dessler is describing the state of affairs in the world, and the state of affairs that are always taking place within a person. He writes so beautifully. Look what he writes here. He says, "Reisi Chadashos," is in the fifth volume of Michtam Eliyahu. Reisi Chadashos bistakli ki ein kol chadash. I see this desire for new things. I see new things, but I also recognize that there's really no such thing as anything new. Kol adam yidme letakin ulahakim chadashos ale atmos aval tohu. Everyone wants to start something new, to create something new. Everyone wants to have their big chiddush in the world. You know, everyone's trying to do something new, to experience something new, to create something new in the world. Aval tohu, it's a mistake. And listen to how he explains it. Listen to these words; they're gorgeous. Ela adam nivra mina emsa visofa mashir beemsa. A person was created in the middle. And a person, by the end of the story, will still be in the middle. Everyone thinks that they're the beginning of the story. You come into this world, and you see the world through your eyes, and you think, like, I'm, you know, and on a certain level, you're right. You kind of are the beginning of your story. But even that's not true. Because your parents are the beginning of your story, and your grandparents are the beginning of their story. And, you know, even if Mashiach came today, there's still going to be more to the end of the story. We're always, so to speak, in the middle chapters. Chavetz Chaim gives a mashal in the Chavetz Chaim al Torah and Parshas Kisisa, also a very important mashal. You know, sometimes people have questions on Hashem. And the Chavetz Chaim explained with the following mashal why it's very silly to think that we could ask questions on Hashem. Imagine a person comes to shul for the first time, walks into a shul he's never been to before. I may have told you this mashal once before. He walks into the shul and he sees the gabbai giving out aliyahs on Shabbos. So he's giving out an aliyah to this one, he's giving out an aliyah to that one. And after davening, he goes over to the gabbai and he says, "You know, like I don't really get this shul. You know, I saw this fellow over there is a very. I know this guy is a very chashuv guy. How could you not give him an aliyah? Why'd you give this guy? Why'd you give that guy? What about this guy? What about that guy?" And the gabbai looks at him with a smile, you know, and he's just like laughing to himself. He's like, "You fool! You've been here one Shabbos. You don't know anything about how this shul operates. You don't know that this guy has a yard site and this guy, you know, has making a simcha. And this one got an aliyah last week. He's not getting an aliyah again this week. You have no idea. You're not keeping score. You've been here for 2 seconds." So the Chavetz Chaim said, we come to this world and we start like looking around and we say, "Oh Hashem, like I would have done like this or I would do like that." And Hashem's like, "Hold on a second. You're literally some middle chapter of a very long story. You don't know, you don't really understand what came before and you certainly don't understand what came after." So with a little bit of humility, right, acknowledge the fact that you don't really get what's going on. Why does the Chavetz Chaim say in a Parshas Kisisa? Anyone take a guess? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah, no, David?
Oh, I was going to get something wrong. Never mind.
Oh, okay. You can get something wrong. That's okay. Moshe Rabbeinu, you want to guess? Moshe Rabbeinu wants to get to know Hashem, right? Hashem, Horini Hashem Darkecha, I want to understand your ways. V'ra'isas acharai. Hashem says, You'll understand me maybe in retrospect, in reverse. You're not going to be able to fully grasp, you know, the way I think. Lo machshu asai machshu aseichem, the Navi says. You can't think like Hashem. So, Chevra, look at the words of Rav Dessler. They're beautiful. Rav Dessler says, every one of us is born into the middle of the story. None of us are the beginning of the story. None of us are the end of the story. We're kind of stuck in the middle. And that's kind of frustrating at times. Everyone wants to be something new. Everyone wants to see the project through from beginning to end. What, Hashem, you're like a Russia, like Paro? You keep us trapped in the middle? You never let us finish the job? You never let us have the satisfaction of starting the job? I'm always trapped in the middle? And the answer, says Rav Dessler, is yes. Kol tzarcho la'alos besulam aval lo lahagia. The mission is to climb the ladder, but it's not about reaching. It's not about getting there. There's no such thing as getting there. And he quotes our mission in Pirkei Avos, lo alecha hamlacha ligmor. No one ever told you. Chazal make it clear. No one asked you to finish anything. You were asked to strive and to try. Lo hagemar tachliso. Finishing, as geshmak as it is to make the siyam on the Masechta, as good as it is to see the project through from beginning to end, that's not the tachlis. That's not the goal. Ela ha'avoda, the work, the effort, the steps along the way, nefesh amal amalo, that's the avoda. Hasbar ligmor yisya'ish lebasof. V'nimsa she'ein od klum biyado. Right? A person who's obsessed with finishing will unfortunately face the reality you can't finish Yiddishkeit. You know, the Gemara tells a story that, who was it, Rabbi Shmuel's nephew came to him, Gemara Menachos. Rabbi Shmuel's nephew came to him and he said, you know, I finished learning Torah. I read through the whole Torah. I finished Shas, Shkayuch. He says, and I want to know if I can now study Greek philosophy. So his uncle said to him, he said, well, it says, V'hagisa bo yomam v'layla. You should study Torah day and night. Right? Pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Yoshua. So if you can find a time that's not day and not night, you can study Greek philosophy all you want. In other words, he was saying to him, what do you mean finish Torah? There's no such thing as finishing Torah. There's no such thing as finishing Torah. And that's not the goal of Torah. That's the most important point I'm trying to emphasize today. That's what Rav Dessler is emphasizing in this letter. The goal of Torah is not finishing. If you're obsessed with finishing, you're inevitably going to despair because the project of Avodas Hashem is not finishable. And therefore, Ashrei mi sheyakir ki avodaso. Praiseworthy is the one who recognizes that what is the avoda? Avodas Hashem, milchemes hayetzer, hainu tachlis asher nivra avuro, the work of Hashem, the fight, engaging in the battle against the Yitzhar. That's what you were created for. V'hainu aliyaso v'gedulaso. And your greatness is your ability to engage in the process. Hagadol sheba adam haya eved Hashem. Zeh kolil kol ha-tachlis. If you're an eved Hashem, if you could say you're working, if you woke up this morning and said, Hashem, I'm yours, I want to work for you today, it doesn't matter how successful or not successful you are by your standards. If you're committed to working for Hashem today, then you have completed the goal. That is the tachlis. And what's amazing about this is that, and we'll see it in a slightly different way in the language of the Maharal in a few minutes, but what's amazing about this approach is that you don't spend your whole life waiting to get there. Because says Rav Dessler, what's wondrous about this goal, what's wondrous about this achievement, is that you're able to what? You're able to achieve it at every second. Every second becomes the purpose. Lo levasof kol yamav. It's not at the end of a life you look back and now you get the Lifetime Achievement Award. Sharei b'chol rega sheyamol, because every second that you're working, lasos retzon kono, to achieve that goal, that is, right? That is the tachlis. That is the goal. So yes, you're stuck in the middle and you're always going to be in the middle. But learn to embrace that. Don't be frustrated by that. Don't be annoyed by that. Hashem didn't train you in Mitzrayim to feel stuck in the middle because Hashem is trying to leave you with a life of frustration. It's a life of striving. Lo alecham lachal ligmor, v'iata ben choron libato mimena. There was a great tzaddik, Rav Yankel Pishavorsk. Rav Yankel Pishavorsk came to Paris right after the war, after World War II, or at some point towards the end of World War II. He was in Paris for a period of time. And he found a small beis medrash of Jews, and he was a very chashuv person. He was a distinguished person, and he picked out his seat right in the middle of the shul. It was very the kavana that he wanted to sit, you know, in the middle of this beis medrash. And you know, people often when they pick a seat in shul, You have people who like to sit in the front. You have like people who like to hide out in the back. You have the guy who likes to hide in the back row. Like he's in shul, but he doesn't even like really want to come too far into shul. And then you have people who really want to be a part of the davening, and they'll get a seat up front, you know, to try to be mishtativ, to, you know, to join the chazan. Right? And then you have the, you know, the people who by default end up in the middle, but no one picks a seat in the middle. He picked a seat in the middle. He wanted to be right in the middle of the shul. So someone asked him, they said, Rav Yankel, why did you sit in the middle? So he quoted the Gemara from Ar Masechta, from Psachim. The Gemara in Psachim says, in source number 3, that Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Yeshua ben Levi, was sick, and he fainted, he passed away. Not clear exactly what happened. He somewhat left his body. Ki hodar, when he recovered, when he returned, Amr le'avua, his father said to him, my chazis, what did you see? Amr le, olam hafuch isi. Elyonim lamata v'tachtonim lamala. I saw an upside down world where the people on top are on the bottom, and the people on the bottom are on the top. What does that mean? Rashi explains, Osen shahayu kan chashuvim or isi kalim. The people who are chashuv in this world are not so chashuv in that world. All the celebrities, the important people, the wealthy people of this world, which is the world, everyone's vying for their attention. No one cares in that world. And a pashat yid who sits by the kotel and zugs to Tehillim, he's mamish, the greatest in the next world. It's an upside down world. I saw an upside down world. Those who are on top are on the bottom. Those who are on the bottom are on the top. Amar lo b'ni. So he said to my son, no. Olam bar isa. You didn't see an upside down world. You saw a world that's actually a correct world, a truthful world. Right? The world the way that it's supposed to be. Of course that's how it's supposed to be. You think some athlete's supposed to get all the kavod. The Talmidei Chachamim, the tzaddikim, or even the Pasha the Yid who's trying, deserves all the kavod. Va'anan hechi hasam, he said, and what's it like for Talmidei Chachamim there? Ki hechi the isu anan hacha hachi isinan hasam. Just like we are over here, we are over there, which is a complicated statement. What does that mean? If Talmidei Chachamim are scorned in this world, they're scorned in the next world. If they're respected in this world, they're respected in the next world. Okay, either way, I saw an upside down world. So Rav Yankel of Pishavorsk said to the person who asked, why are you sitting in the middle of the Beis Medrash? A chashuv person, come sit up front. He says, no. He says, he quoted this Gemara, that the world, and all the Olam HaEmes is a world that's what? That's the opposite of this world. So he said, if I sit in the front of the shul, right, in the world of truth, I'm going to be in the back of the shul. If I sit in the back of the shul, then I'm going to be forced to sit in the front of the shul. If I sit in the middle of the shul, so when the whole world gets turned upside down, this way and that, I always get to keep my seat. I always get to stay in the middle. Chevra, we're all, Rav Dessler says, we're all in the middle seat. That's the best seat to be in. When you appreciate being in the middle, there's no beginning, there's no end. We're all in the middle of the story. Everyone is permanently stuck in the middle of the story. That is the most gavaldic thing in the world. Because then you have a mission statement. Then you have an attainable goal. What do you mean an attainable goal? I thought you can't get there. That's right. Because the goal is, every bit of effort that you make is in of itself the goal. That is the goal. That's what we're trying to achieve. Let's learn the Maharal in his Parash on Pirkei Avos on this Mishnah. And the Maharal reveals to us some beautiful, beautiful ideas. What does it mean? Lo alecha amlacha ligmor. V'i'ata ben choren libato mimena. What is our anxiety when it comes to serving Hashem? And again, Chevra, you know, today is the 22nd day of the Omer. We're going to start learning about Lag BaOmer a little bit this week in Mirtz Hashem. Pesach Sheni is coming up. Right? We have some very gavaldic things. And of course, Shavuos right around the corner. Before you know it, we'll be at Har Sinai. But there's this insecurity we have when it comes to being successful in Torah. There's a feeling that I'll never get there. And what we're learning today is that there is no such thing as getting there. We're changing our mindset. It's a paradigm shift. It's not about getting anywhere. We're not trying to arrive. The journey is itself the tachlis. Says the Maharal in his Parashat Pirkei Avos. It's called Derech Chaim. He writes in source number 7. Umipnei ki yesh la'adam lachshov, ki ein schar chas v'shalom ala Torah ba'atzva. You might think that you don't deserve to ever get rewarded for Torah. And I'll tell you why, says the Maharal. It's very simple. Kishem she'ein habala bayis no sein schar, l'misha sachar aso livnos bayis, v'lo bana davar sheroy el bala bayis. If a very wealthy person hires someone to build a home, and he asks for a certain type of home, a certain quality of home, and the builder goes ahead and he builds something of a lesser quality, and it's not what this person, you know, ordered, for lack of a better word. It's not what they contracted to build. There's no one else who's going to be able to bail you out to finish the job for you. So now you come to this, you know, this fellow who you built this bias for, and you say, okay, here's the home that you requested. And he said, that's not what I requested. I'm not paying you a red cent. I'm not paying you a penny. That's beneath my kavod. That's not the type of home that I envisioned. So you signed up to work for me. You claimed you claimed that you'd be able to give me something that was appropriate for me, but you failed. You failed to deliver, and I'm not paying you. So in a certain sense, on a subconscious level, every one of us asked this question. We showed up at our Sinai. We said Nasa v'Nishva. We're ready for the job. And we spend our whole life trying to build something, to build a life, to build an Avodas Hashem, a structure of Avodas Hashem, a place within ourselves that's fitting for Hashem. And Hashem looks at it and says, really? That's what you built me? It'll never be lefi chvodo. It'll never be good enough. So since I can never finish the job, I can never build a proper space for Hashem in my heart, in my mind, right? In the Olamos, I can't finish the job. And therefore, the same way that a baser v'dam, a person of flesh and blood, would not expect to get paid for a job that was never finished. So the same thing, we have this anxiety when it comes to Torah. How can I expect to get paid? Right? I'm never going to get there. I'm never going to get to the level of the people who I even look up to, let alone to really get there. It's an impossible task. Valze Amar, and about that, Rabbi Tarfon said, relax. Lo alecham lachal ligmor. That's not the goal. Ki lo ninna ha-Torah rak shiyah ha-Adam omel ba. I didn't give you the Torah to get anywhere. I gave you the Torah to be osek in it, to fill your life with it. And then the Maharal says an amazing thing. Kedei shelo yomar ha-Adam. So Hashem, you're paying me for a job that I can't really finish. Okay, that's very generous. So now, if you read the end of the Mishnah, what's the end of the Mishnah? Right? Lo alecham lachol ligmor, v'lo atab ben chorin libatel mimena. And then the Mishnah says, in accordance with how much you shteig, in accordance with your effort, you're going to get schar harbe. Right? If you learn Torah and Lamadta Torah Harbe, Hashem's going to give you Schar Harbe. That's very generous. That's very generous, especially since the fact that you're paying me at all for a job I can't finish is already impressive. I wouldn't expect that every little bit. If I can't finish it anyways, so what difference? If there's going to be an infinite amount left on the table, so to speak, so what difference does it make if I learn one page of Gemara, or 100 pages of Gemara, or 1,000,000 pages of Gemara? There's always going to be this infinite gap between finishing the job and where I am. So on a certain level, I don't feel like, what difference does it make if I do a little or a lot? And that's the danger, the complacency that comes with this, you know, with this revelation that you don't have to finish. If I don't have to finish, okay, so that means any amount that I do is sufficient. So says the Mishnah, no, keep do as much as you can. Now that's also a painful paradox, to keep working so diligently at something, knowing I'll never finish it, is very hard. But that's dafka the point. The point is, the fact that you can't finish it means that there's always something more for you to do. And that's something, again, that we're supposed to embrace, not run away from. Let's pause in the Maharal for a second. The Siach Sarfei Kodesh, which is a Likud Sefer, a several volume Sefer, a collection of teachings from different tzaddikim. There's a section on Parsha, a section on Mo'adim, a section on different topics. In the section on Avodas Hashem, in Osir Aleph, he quotes from the Chidush Yarem, Lo alecham lachal ligmor, v'lo ata ben chorin libatel mimena. Amru Zal, ha-perish, ho'il v'ein alecha malacha, sh'ata yachol l'gomra, m'meila ein ata ben chorin libatel mimena. It's a very subtle thing that he's saying. Let's read it again. See if you chap it. Ho'il v'ein alecha malacha, sh'ata yachol l'gomra, Memela ain't a tub and choren li bottle mana. Anyone want to take a stab at what he's saying? What do you think he's saying? Ho will the ain alecha malacha shata yachal legomra. Since what? I mean, what's he adding? What's he saying different than the pashup shot in the Mishnah? How's the Chiddush Shirim getting into the psychology of a person? Again, on the one hand, my starting point with Torah is it's so overwhelming, I want to run away from it. So then the Mishnah reveals to me, no one ever told you you're supposed to finish anything. Right? There's no expectation to finish it, and there's nothing you're able to finish. But then what happens? So what's my next move? What's my response to that? Knowing that what? Knowing that I'm not able to finish it. So I might say, okay, so let me be osek in something that I can finish. I don't want that frustration. But the Torah is at the same time telling me, but this is your job. And therefore what? And therefore, okay, if I'm not able to finish it, right? But there's a part of my human psyche that always wants to move towards the finish line. So that means I create kind of this loop of endlessly trying to get there. Now, Rav Dessler is telling us, be careful. You're never going to get there, so don't become obsessed with getting there, because then you're just going to be frustrated. But at the same time, there's supposed to be an attitude, because you have an endless task, and the Baal HaBayis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is demanding of you, I want you to build me a house that you know you're not able to build, so I'm going to at least try to get as far as I can. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep working at it to at least give the impression that I understand the importance of the task at hand. Again, don't run away from it because you can't finish it. Knowing that you can't finish it, and like the Chafetz Chaim said, no one ever asked you to finish it. No one ever asked you to become a Gon. That was not the goal. The goal was to just keep working. So knowing that it's not possible to finish, right? That should, okay, so that gives me something to forever do. That's the beauty of Torah. There's always something to do. There's always more to do. A person who takes Torah study seriously can never claim that they're bored of Torah, because there's always more to do. So therefore, a person might say, well, if I can't finish anything, so why would I get paid more for one daf of Gemara or 1,000 daf of Gemara? For $1 tzedakah or $1,000 tzedakah? What difference does it make if I daven Shmona Esrei once a day or three times a day? Right? And more than that, look what he says here. The Gemara in Bava Metzia teaches us a rule. The rule is that Schirus Eina Mishalemes Ela Basof. When does a worker, when does a person who's hired for a job get paid for the job? At the end of the job, right? I hire you to come to my house to fix my washing machine, right? So I don't, you know, you don't walk in and say, okay, here's the bill, right? You fix the washing machine, and then you write up a bill, and I pay you at the end, right? I get in your taxi cab and your Uber, right? When we arrive, you know, you get paid. That's how it works. That's how it typically works. You hire someone for the job. Schiris mishalemes levasof. I rent your whatever. So I pay at the end. That's typically how it works. And in a halachic context, that is how it works. So now you'll ask yourself, hold on. If I don't get paid for a job until the end, but with Torah I can never reach the end, so maybe I'll never get paid. Maybe I'll never get paid. So says the Maharal, and right? Aaron Kedushin says, Schar mitzvah b'hai al-maleka. There's no reward for mitzvahs in this. So I have to at least get to the sof of my existence in this world, which is my death. I can't expect to get paid. But how can I expect to get paid at all, since I can never finish the job? So Maharal, you're making a terrible mistake. Because when is the end in Torah? When does one arrive, so to speak, at the end in Torah? The answer is step. Every step is the beginning, the middle, and the end. Every word of Torah is the tachlis. It's not like you're waiting to finally get there. You should be celebrating every bit of Torah that you learn. A person who learns a masechta and finishes and makes a siyum, has a little celebration, right? There's something very beautiful about that, but there's something very not true about that. Because we don't only celebrate the siyum, we don't only celebrate the conclusion of the Gemara. Every word that you learned is in and of itself the tachlis. That's what the Maharal says. The Maharal says that every bit, look what he writes here, ki ein davar zeh doma labayis she'ein hashlama rak v'sof. It's not like building the house, where the person is not going to, can't, you know, if I hired you to do something and you don't do it, so that's, you're not going to get paid for that. Aval ba'amal ha-Torah kol amal shleimus bifnei atzma. Again, such a beautiful lashon. That every bit of effort is a completion, is the goal in and of itself. And that needs to be celebrated along the way. So Rav Dessler is telling us again, you're stuck in the middle. But that's a gevaldik thing. That's a big schus. If you learn how to embrace that, the middle is the tachlis. The journey is the destination, in a sense. Okay, Avi, what did you want to say?
Well, I was just thinking about the word that we say when someone dies, that they're nifter, which is
Right.
like potter from the avoda.
Right, now you're pater, right, now you're pater from the avoda, right. And until that moment, right, until that moment, a person is chayav, right? And again, don't develop an attitude. What's one more, one less? Right, either way, I'm never going to finish. No, that's what the Mishnah is telling us. It's paradoxical. It's emotionally difficult to find the strength to do as much as you can, knowing that I'm chasing infinity. But nonetheless, we do what we can. And again, the mature appreciation of it is that every step is the tachlis. Every step is the hashlama. I'll show you an Imre Noam that's very appropriate for Bnei Yeshiva who also are in college. The Imre Noam in Parshas Re'eh. We'll leave out the context that he's speaking. Re'eh Anochi, Nosin Lefnechem Hayom, Brachu Klala. Right, but here's what he says. What is the difference between a person who studies Torah and a person who studies other forms of wisdom? Okay? Now, it's not a perfect mashal, because you could argue that the experience of learning, let's say a person, okay, I'll give you an example. A person wants to become a doctor. A person sets out to become a doctor, and you ask him, "Why do you want to become a doctor?" "I love helping people. I love the thought that I'll be able to make a difference in someone's life. It's also a nice parnasa." Okay, fine, good. So he starts to study. He's studying medicine, and he picks his focus in his medical practice. Right? He decides he wants to be a GI. He decides he wants to be a neurosurgeon. He decides he wants to be a pediatrician. He wants to be an oncologist. Whatever, he picks his specialty, and he starts to focus on it. And he's studying, and he's studying, and he's studying. And he's always dreaming, it's so expensive, all the training, all the schooling, years. But he hopes that somewhere down the line he's going to be able to really, make a difference in the lives of others. Imagine, after all of that training, after all of that preparation, he passes away. Something tragic happens and he suddenly passes away. And he's never able to use, to apply all of that knowledge. Now, on a certain level, I'm sure we could all make the case as to why his decision to study was still purposeful in and of itself. It says something about who he is. He acquired that knowledge. Maybe knowledge itself is a special thing to have. But in a certain sense, chaval, it was all in vain. In the ultimate sense, it was all in vain. Why? Because he wanted to help people. He wanted to perform brain surgery. He wanted to cure someone from cancer, right? He wanted to write that prescription that makes someone feel better. And he never once in his life had the opportunity to do that. So says the Imre Noam, the Heiliger Rebbe of Jikov. Says the Imre Noam, "V'nira tochen kavanas apasuk lahazbir lanu b'tov ha'inyan, asher agam osim halomdim chachmos chitzonios, u'mefazim hotzos alza." Those individuals who spend a lot of time learning, again, not Torah wisdom, acquiring other forms of wisdom, and sometimes they'll spend a lot of money to go to university. At the end, they could look back and they could say, "Why was it all worth it? Because once I got that, once I graduated, I got that diploma, right? I got that graduate degree. I was able to get the job, and the job was able to put food on my table, to put a roof over my head, to put clothing on my body. It was worth it. It was necessary. It was worth it." Uvam elz la'eza tachlis. Right? I always wanted to be able to achieve this. I had to study, I had to work for a number of years to get there, and now I got there, now I've arrived. All of the work that went into it, and all the money that went into it, was I'll be able to look back now and say it was worth it. It was purposeful. I achieved my goal. But only once I've arrived. Now, again, you could argue and say, a person, what do you mean? He enjoys the process of learning. He enjoys the study. But let's make this person very not lishma. Let's say this guy wants to become whatever. He wants to make a lot of money. That's his goal. And he knows there's certain, certain training, certain schooling he needs to do in order to make that, that $1 million. So he goes through all the training, right? And he gets the job, and on his first day to work, he's crossing the street and he gets hit by a bus and he gets killed on the spot, tragically. So all of those years that he spent, he could have chilled all those years. He could have spent those years on the beach because he put in all that effort to get somewhere and he never got there. Kigon Shiyamusu Kodem Vekadoma, if he never achieves that goal, God forbid he passed away suddenly before he achieves that goal, Oz Niglelem Afreya Sher Yigi Oso Haisa Lagamre Lerik. In a certain simple sense, all of the effort that he made along the way was in vain. It was worthless. Chaval Azman, chaval on the money that he spent to get that education. He never did anything with it. Aval Lokin Halome Torah Kedosha. But Chavi, you have to realize that is one of the greatest gifts of Torah. The gift of Torah is that the study is itself the goal. Asher Tekaf B'chol Shah V'Shah, every shir you attend, every line of Gemara that you study, every new halacha that you learn, that in and of itself is the goal. Every bit of it, as soon as you enter into it, Asher Tekaf B'chol Shah V'Shah Eis Limudo, who Tekaf Megiel Atachlis. Again, in the words of the Maharal, in the words of Rav Dessler, you immediately arrive at the goal, the Hashlama, the Tachlis. The Agia is itself the victory. Because when you're trying, when you're immersing yourself in the Chumash, in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, you're immersing yourself in the mind of Hashem. When you're trying to get to know Hashem through the perspective of the Tzaddikim, right, that is the Tachlis. When I read a piece of Torah from Rabbi Nachman and I understand a little bit deeper, that's it. That itself is the goal. Lo alecha hamlacha ligmor. No one ever asked you to finish anything. Your job is just to be engaged in order to experience that process. Let's conclude this morning's shiur by reminding ourselves again, once again, it's not that we don't want to finish our projects in life. Chaval to those individuals who are always starting projects and setting goals that are attainable and can't finish them. That is very crushing. And we should have goals, again, in a limited sense, that we set out to accomplish, and we find a way to finish the job. A person decides, I want to learn Daf Yomi. Meseches Brachos, a new cycle, learns Daf Beis, Daf Gimel. He's getting into it, you know, Daf Dalid, right? He finishes Meseches Brachos, he starts Meseches Shabbos, things are getting bumpy, you know, a little bit harder. Erevin, you know, it's getting tough. Psachim, Shkalim, you know, not so easy. But imagine this guy finds a way to hold on and he finishes Shas. Now, he hasn't finished Shas. There's no such thing as finishing Shas. He's going to have to do it again. But he set a goal for himself and he achieved it. And he should be very proud of himself. So what we're learning today is not that we should. It's good to set goals. And it's good to achieve those goals. But there's also this fear when it comes to engaging in Avodas Hashem that it's an impossible. There's this, you know, ultimate goal, this infinity of Hashem that I'm striving towards that I'll never reach. And that can be very frustrating. And we're learning, don't be frustrated by that. Don't be frustrated. Embrace that. Embrace being in the middle. Embrace the amelus and the malacha itself. Appreciate whatever accomplishments you can have. Again, we want to achieve the goals. And by the way, those who are able to set a goal and stick with it, as simple as it may be, is a very chashuv thing. Every one of us has set goals in our life that we've broken many a time. And we said, this time I'm going to get it right. And the sign of a true Talmud Chacham is a person who, by the way, sets a goal and finishes that goal. He's not always setting new goals. He sets reasonable goals and finishes those goals. Again, albeit with the backdrop that there's something we're all striving for that we can never finish. The Gemara in Yoma, Daf Ayin Beis, Daf Yomi is learning Maseches Yoma now, they're at the beginning of the Masechta. But towards the end of the Masechta, Maseches Yoma, it says, when describing the Aron Kodesh, it says, Mibayis u'michutz titzapenu, that it's covered with gold inside and out. And Rava explains, "Kol Talmud Chacham she'ein tocho kabaro eino Talmud Chacham." Any Talmud Chacham whose inside is not like his outside, he's not golden through and through, inside and out, is not a real Talmud Chacham. However, there's something very problematic about this Gemara that Rav Avraham Yitzchak Bloch from the Telz Yeshiva Zatzal points out. Rav Avraham Yitzchak Bloch points out that, hold on a second, how is the Aron actually made? The Torah tells us in Parshas Truma, "Vitzipisa oso zahav tahor." In source number 11, "Mibayis u'michutz titzapenu." It's coated with gold inside and out. But Rashi explains, really, it was three boxes. Shlosha aronos asa betzalel. The aron was actually three boxes. There was an innermost box which was gold. There was an outermost box which was gold. However, what was the middle box?
Shittim wood.
It was shittim wood. Shtayim shel zav ve'echad shel eitz. You had a box which was gold, a box that was gold, and a box that was plain wood in the middle. So asked Rav Avraham Yitzchak Bloch, the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva, said Rav Avraham Yitzchak Bloch, I don't understand. What does the Gemara mean when Rava says a Talmid Chacham is a person who's golden through and through, his insides are like his outsides? What does the wood represent? What is the wood, that middle box, what does that represent? So he said such a beautiful idea. In a Sefer Shi'urei Hadas, he explained that you have to understand, a person begins a project. A person has an idea. A person wants to achieve something. And he sets out to achieve that goal. And he's all excited at the beginning. We've all been there, right? I'm going to start learning Halacha Yomi, Mishnah Yomi, Daf Yomi. You know, I'm going to start learning whatever. Or I'm going to start doing this. I commit, when I bench, I'm always going to look at the words inside a bencher. Or I'm always going to make sure I say Aleinu from a sitter, whatever it is. He's all excited about this idea. Or he's got a project, a chesed project. Oh, I have this great idea, I'm going to change the world, and it all, you know, it's a golden idea. And then he begins the process. And, you know, as time goes on, the implementation of that idea starts to lose its shine a little bit. It loses its luster. It's no longer that solid golden idea, so to speak, right? But now it's become very plain in his mind. All the details. He's got this great idea, but now he realizes, you know, to get a non-for-profit, you know, license and to all the paperwork and to, you know, and to get supporters and to do like this and to do like that. All of a sudden now, like, I don't know, it's too much work. It's too hard. The golden idea, which existed only in his mind, has now encountered the wood, the regular day-in, day-out efforts that are going to take to achieve that goal. Says the Gemara, a Talmud Chacham is able to get from gold to gold. What the Gemara is saying, that's exactly a sign of a Talmud Chacham. A person who knows that, yes, you're going to encounter a lot of wood along the way. There's going to be some boring days along the way. There's going to be some moments where you're not so inspired. But if you push through, you get to that third box. From gold, you get stuck a little bit in wood, but you push through and you make it to gold. That's the sign of a Talmud Chacham. So that's such an important yesod as well. Yes, we should have projects and goals and things that we want to finish. Things that we intend to do. Things that we hope to achieve. We shouldn't get stuck along the way. We should set a goal and we should make it our reality. It's interesting. The Chafetz Chaim points out at the end of Parshas Noach, it says that Terach, the father of Avraham, took along his family. Where was he going? Leleches Arza Canaan. He wanted to go to Canaan. Vayavo ad Charan. He made it to Charan. Vayeshu sham. And he stayed there. The Chafetz Chaim says there's an important lesson in this pasuk. Terach wanted to get somewhere, and he didn't. He stopped along the way, and he changed his plans. Chaval, he wanted to get to Canaan. He wanted to get to Canaan, and he didn't make it to Canaan. He ended up staying in Charan. That's a failure. On a certain level, that's a failure. What happened? I don't know. The journey was too long in the end, so he decided, oh, whatever, I'll just stay here. The Chafetz Chaim al HaTorah in Parshas Noach points out that's a failure. Right? But Avram Avinu, lech lecha me'artzacha, go to Eretz Yisrael. Right? And he goes to Eretz Yisrael. He makes it the rest of the way. So, however, we're not learning today that we shouldn't have, you know, finishable goals. We should have finishable goals. And the sign of a person who's dedicated is the one who pushes through those difficulties to get to kind of that finish line. You want to finish the Masechta, so finish the Masechta. Make it a goal and stick with it. You have a project, you want to finish the project, Gavaldik. But there's one project we'll never finish, and that's Avodas Hashem. You can't finish it. And therefore, we're getting chizik from the fact that, and that's okay. Because within the grand project of infinity is every little move that I make, every rega, every step, every bit of a melus, that is the tachlis. That is the goal. That's what we're trying to achieve. So let's just end the shir with the famous Mishnah in Mesachos Menachos, Daf Kuf Yud. You've heard the statement before. You may not know it's a Mishnah at the end of Menachos, but now you do. The Mishnah says, Namar ba'olas behema, yishei reach nichach. It says when it comes to bringing an olas behema, a carbon ola of a behema, of an animal, okay, it's costly. It says that it creates a reach nichach for Hashem. Hashem loves the scent, kiviyachol, of the offering. And furthermore, it says by an olas ha'of, it says by a bird offering, which is obviously less expensive than an animal offering, it also creates a reach nichach. And it says by a mincha offering, when a person brings flour as his karbon, it also says reach nichach in the very beginning of Sefer Vayikra. How could it be that all three of these things makes Hashem happy? How could it be that Hashem is satisfied by each of them? And the answer is, says the Mishnah, Lomar Lacha, it comes to teach us. Echad hamarbe, ve'echad hamamit, u'bevad shiachav in libel Hashemayim. Whether you do a little or whether you do a lot, as long as your kavana is correct, as long as you're doing the best that you can, as long as you're striving and you're growing, and you're not allowing yourself to run away from the avoda simply because it's unfinishable, but you're appreciating the avoda and you're embracing the avoda, and you feel empowered by every bit of the avoda, Hashem says, I have no tainas against you. If you're too poor to afford an olas behema, so bring an olas haof, bring a mincha, bring what you can. Right, ish. What's the pasuk we say by the Shlosh Regalim? Ish kafi hasagas yado, hasig yado. Right, each person according to his means should bring. You come to Hashem, you bring what you can, you do the best you can. Okay, b'chaver, that's again this double edged. Lo alechem lachal ligmor. No one asked you to finish anything, but at the same time, iata ben choran libatol mimena. You're born into the middle of the story, forever going to be in the middle of the story. Rav Dessler says, don't be depressed by that. Be inspired by that and just do what you can to give nachas ruach to Hashem. All right, that's my message. Looking back over the course of the year, asking yourself, what did I achieve? What did I accomplish? You achieved to whatever degree you made the effort, that's what you achieved. That's the goal. It's not about getting anywhere. It's about just waking up in the morning and saying, I'm going to try my best today to take a step for Hashem.